Unite the Clans. Michael Matt talks crisis in the Vatican on Newsmax. Sri Lanka is starving, but the World Economic Forum says, let them eat bugs. Pope Francis teams up with Bill Gates to tell the world to stop eating red meat. And Francis helps the UN come one step closer to canceling sovereign nations and your private property. And finally, here it comes. Brace yourselves for monkeypox.
I'm scared to close my eyes.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. And just keep it sealed off until the monkeypox threat is over. Appreciate it. See you later.
Oh, man. I can't believe what's happening. I just can't believe what's going on here with the pox, the monkeypox. I mean, this is no laughing matter, you know. Thank goodness that Papa Joe has declared the pox, the monkeypox, a national emergency.
More than a month after the country's first case of monkeypox and amid calls to do more, the administration declaring a public health emergency as cases nationwide topped 7,000 this morning.
Now, this gets tricky because I want to do my part like I always have, done my part to slow the spread. And I would say that all we need to do whatever it takes this time to slow the spread of monkeypox, but that, I think, would be just a teensy-weensy bit homophobic, since by all accounts now, the monkeypox is a threat primarily to the homosexual community, who doesn't seem to be worried about it in the least.
At a San Francisco festival happening today sparked concerns of being a super spreader event.
Instead of sounding the alarm on this event, health experts are using it to reach and educate people about monkeypox. Now, I must apologize, I'm a little overdressed for this event.
I'm absolutely loving it. Not offended by the nudity.
It's the celebration of diversity because not everything fits within a certain realm. It's very important. It's part of our identities.
And it's fun.
So much for the monkeypox scare then, if it's fun. Now, I'm not sure when exactly Pope Francis will start mandating vaccinations for monkeypox inside the Vatican. I assume it will be soon. And given the risk group, I would think that he'd better act pretty soon over there in the Vatican. So, the question is, if this is just going to contain itself in the homosexual community, what's next on the panic porn agenda? I noticed that Anthony Fauci is back in the news.
Every time I think this thing is over, Dr. Fauci shows up. Okay, what are you going to do? Even if you got a shot, you're going to get two shots. Get two shots, get three shots, get three shots, get four masks, five masks. Get five masks, four shots.
So, Fauci is now saying if they don't get vaccinated or they don't get boosted, they're going to get in trouble in the fall. But remember, friends, what Tony from the Land of Baloney was saying just about this time last summer?
Where is the pandemic headed right now? Do you expect new record high numbers for cases? And what about hospitalizations and deaths?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Jake, I think that is going to happen. We are going to see a significant stress in some regions of the country on the hospital system, particularly in those areas where you have a low level of vaccination.
What a nut job. Still out there, and I think he is now pushing 90 years old.
Now I've noted that Dr. Fauci is 81. At 81, most people in the UK would have retired.
There are actual real crises in the world right now. For example, Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, the global elites there have decided that, you know, in order to save the planet, they're going to have to starve the people to death.
Last year, in a highly controversial move, the Sri Lankan government banned the use and import of chemical fertilizers overnight in a bid to become the first country in the world to fully adopt organic farming.
Before long, the situation was horrific. Citizens began starving, and there was a shortage of everything, food and fuel being the most pressing.
Hey, come on, guys. What's a little bit of revolution in your country? They're just trying to save you. They're trying to help you out. You guys need to follow the science. Besides that, the science is now telling us all we need to do, if you get a little hungry, eat the bugs.
Insects are becoming a trend. The Western diet has to kind of shift and change. And most importantly, it's natural, it's normal, and it's the way that we have to feed the future.
And if the bugs run out, not to worry, because Bill Gates has got us covered for the big meals.
Bill Gates believes the wealthiest countries should switch to eating 100% synthetic beef in order to help combat climate change.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks also, Mr. Gates, for getting that important memo over to His Holiness in the Vatican, who's apparently now following all of your instructions to the letter. Here's Francis.
Pope Francis met with the participants of the European Youth Conference and encouraged them to transform the old continent into something new. He explained how urgent it is to reduce consumption not only of fossil fuels, but of many superfluous things, and said that in certain parts of the world, it would be advisable to consume less meat.
Wow, isn't that great, the way Francis just comes up with this stuff? You know, all of a sudden, we were used to be talking about abortion and the ills, the sins of the world, the breakup of the family, and all of a sudden, Francis realizes one day that what we need to do is stop eating meat. I wonder how he comes by this information. It's amazing, isn't it? And I'm sure that His Holiness is really, really pleasing the farmers of the Netherlands right now, who appreciate his good work on behalf of the lunatics of Davos.
Not an unusual sight in the Netherlands these days. Tractors on the streets of The Hague joining a protest. As the police try to block them, it becomes clear that stopping a tractor isn't easy.
We hope that the government will understand that the Netherlands can't exist without farmers. The Netherlands needs farmers. We are producing the most sustainable food worldwide. So without us, I don't know who will feed all these people.
But, by the way, Field Marshal Schwab very much supports the Dutch Prime Minister's plan to cut the food supply to the folks in Netherlands. Here's the Field Marshal now.
Where do you find still such a prime minister in the world? You find it in the Netherlands, and it's Mark Rutte.
In the existing next-gen EU fund, there is still a lot of money, which is also partly funneled towards greening our economies, and that's exactly what we need to do to become less gas and oil dependent.
Now, you'll remember this guy. We featured him on this show about a year ago, lying his tulips off.
Beste is de heer Klaus Schwab, oprichter en voorzitter van het World Economic Forum. En hij heeft ook een boek geschreven met als pakkende titel COVID-19, The Great Reset. En mijn vraag aan de demissionair minister-president is, hoe beoordeelt hij de inhoud van dit boek?
De minister-president.
Ik ken het boek niet, voorzitter. Maar ik zou de heer Vermeijeren willen adviseren om niet al te veel in al die conspiratietheorieën. Ik kijk ze ook allemaal op YouTube. Ik vind het fascinerend hoe dan uitgelegd wordt dat 9/11 niet heeft plaatsgevonden of dat het allemaal anders zit. Ontzettend knap in elkaar gezet. Maar het is meestal wat het is, een conspiratietheorie.
De heer Vermeijeren.
Nou, het verbaast mij dat de eerste vraag die ik aan de heer Rutte stel sinds ik beëdigd ben als Kamerlid direct wordt beantwoord.
Maar gefeliciteerd ook eens.
Dank u wel, maar het verbaast mij dat die eerste vraag direct wordt beantwoord met een leugen. Ik heb namelijk een brief in mijn hand, die dateert van 26 november 2020. En dat is een brief van de heer Rutte aan de heer Klaus Schwab, waarin hij de heer Schwab bedankt voor het toezenden van zijn boek. En dit noemt een hoopvolle analyse voor een betere toekomst. Zou de heer Rutte nog even kunnen graven in zijn geheugen en mijn eerste vraag opnieuw te beantwoorden en nu eerlijk?
All these guys want to do is save the planet. In fact, this week, another conspiracy theory having to do with saving the planet turned into, well, another spoiler alert.
And it is time for the Hot Topic Buzz. So get this, the World Economic Forum is now looking to reduce ownership of private vehicles. Yes, the forum claiming that this is a way to reduce global reliance on critical metals like cobalt and lithium as they make a push toward green energy.
And we're already seeing evidence of the fact that this is indeed going to happen. In Paris, the young globalist leader, Manny Macron, he can't wait to get started. By 2024, Paris plans to ban all privately owned cars from huge swaths, huge sections of the French capital. And that's why, by the way, obviously, that's why gas prices are going through the roof everywhere.
On June 29th, 2022, the country suspended fuel sales. It only had enough fuel for just one more day, and it will be given out in absolute emergencies. It was the first country to ban sales of petrol since the fuel crisis in the 1970s.
Yeah, it seems to be working out really well in Sri Lanka, really well. I'm not sure if there's a strong indigenous activist community in Sri Lanka, but if there is, well, the Sri Lankans are going to have to give their country back to the indigenous too, just like they're talking about doing up in Canada. In fact, we're all heading in that general direction. You may think that you own your land on which your house presently sits, but I wouldn't get too comfortable with that, because I'm not sure it's going to stay that way. People say, well, that's ridiculous. Now, that's a conspiracy theory. Really? I've got a marsh on my land, in a little wetland. I have no right to even touch it. I can hardly look at it. You certainly couldn't fill it in. Do I own that marsh? They're already doing this stuff. But now they've come up with another excuse for why you don't own your own property. Well, it belongs to the tribe. Your yard may very well belong not only to the tribe, but some oppressed tribe that deserves your yard more than you do. You see what's going on? 68 Christian churches burned last year. Were you aware of that?
Well, it's not getting a lot of attention in this country because we don't give Canada any attention at all. But all of a sudden, Canada looks a lot like the Soviet Union. Seem like we're exaggerating a little bit? Well, they're burning Catholic and Anglican churches in recent days. Leftist groups are. But Canada's leaders aren't condemning the burning of churches. No, they're endorsing the burning of churches. And not just churches. Rioters just tore down the statue of Queen Victoria in Winnipeg on Canada Day.
No pride in genocide!
It's true, yes. Yes, it is genocide.
That's the price that's being paid for stealing the indigenous lands and cannibalizing the indigenous children, don't you see? And Pope Francis' response to that, he went up in Canada, we covered that 2 shows now, 2 weeks. You think he might have said something about that? Not only about the missionaries who died and, you know, gave their lives for the indigenous, but also for the churches that within the past year were burned to the ground. 60 of them. Not a word. Yes, well, the church is guilty of genocide. Francis said so on the plane back to Rome.
Changing culture, changing minds, changing traditions, changing a race, so to speak, a whole culture. Yes, it's a technical word, genocide. I didn't use it because it didn't come to my mind, but I described it. It's true, yes. Yes, it is genocide.
But see, the problem is, Holiness, it really doesn't matter. I don't know if you got the memo, but they really don't care about your apology. They want a lot more than that. You'll remember as you were speaking in the middle of one of your masses, they were protesting you and they were shouting, repudiate the doctrine of discovery, renounce the papal bull. I heard that with my own ears live. Like, oh my gosh, these are some pretty woke and well-informed activists. They said, that's what we need. You need to renounce the papal bulls. Okay, what are they talking about? Talking about way back, guys like Pope Alexander VI. You know, these activists are screaming right in the Pope's face to renounce Pope Alexander VI's papal bull. They're demanding that Francis rescind the 15th century doctrine of discovery and the documents that supported that, which form the basis now today, because there's nothing else, they actually form the basis of Canada's sovereignty.
It's not just a document to be sort of torn up and thrown away. It's a construct that needs to be dismantled, because what we're really talking about is colonialism. We're talking about the colonization of this country and how that has been destructive to Indigenous people in Canada, in places like Australia, in the U.S., and in places around the world.
Remember when we were kids, by the way? Let's talk about that for a minute. Do you feel oppressed because somewhere along your lineage, a horrible colonialist priest or nun came into the country of your father's and mother's birth and converted them to Christianity? Do you feel oppressed by that? Do you remember when we were young and we learned about St. Patrick and St. Boniface? In my case, I'm German and Irish. Patrick drove the snakes out of my family's beloved Ireland. Remember those stories? Converted Ireland, the Emerald Island, to Christianity. And Ireland went out and brought Christ to the world through her army of priests, Catholic priests, Irish priests. Boniface, Saint Boniface, the great patron saint of Germany. What did he do? He went and cut down the pagan tree, didn't he? And then he baptized Germany. And guess what? For hundreds of years, we saw them as heroes. We saw them as saints. We studied them in school. We were proud of them because we saw Christianity's triumph over the pagan Druids to be a good thing. Because we hadn't been enlightened yet by guys like Francis.
It's true, yes. Yes, it is genocide.
And now the Catholic Church under Francis, and not just under Francis, under John Paul, it started after the Second Vatican Council, They celebrate the pagan spirituality. Remember, John Paul went to Assisi and celebrated the pagan spirituality and the diversity of religions. Remember? In the name of peace, we buried dogma. And now even the Pope right now, Francis, up there, getting into the pagan ritual act right in front of God and everybody on camera. So let's review, friends. I know we've gone over this, but it's just, it is so essential that we understand what this is really all about. This attack on the churches in Canada, on the missionaries of Canada, and on the statues of Canada and down here, this attack on Christopher Columbus, this attack on the missions of California, Junipero Serra, people like that, remember tearing down those statues. And ultimately, those of you who are not Catholic, remember the attack on the U.S. Constitution comes into this as well. What are they trying to do right now? They're trying to destroy all the institutions of this country, starting with the Constitution of the United States of America. All of this now is rooted in the same revolution. And part of this revolution is this call, this clarion call to return native lands to the indigenous. And in a moment, I'm going to speak in defense of the indigenous and the way they were badly treated. But don't fall for this. This has nothing to do with indigenous peoples. This has everything to do with globalism.
Elder Claudette Commanda says even after the Canadian government overtly rejected the doctrine by passing Bill C-15 last year, harmonizing the country's laws with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, revoking the doctrine would help eliminate a layer of legal injustice.
500 plus years and there was one pope who made a doctrine of discovery. Well, let's fast forward to 500 plus years and, well, this pope can make a change. He can revoke that doctrine of discovery.
Now, what I want you to do is Google the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Peoples. Throw that up on the screen, but you got to read it. It's not a long read, it's a short read. So you can understand what this is really all about. And up in Canada, they've been facing this, the ramifications of this UN initiative for a long time. They're facing a potential massive land grab orchestrated by the builders, yes, of the Great Reset and the New Industrial Revolution, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, who are using the indigenous people to tear down Canada's sovereignty and ultimately every other country's sovereignty as well.
So what could happen here is we could lose the rights to our lands that we've paid for. Article 26 is a big one, and it basically says that Aboriginals, whoever they are, have the rights to all of the lands, territories, and resources to which they have traditionally owned, occupied, or otherwise used.
You get it? Look around. Southern border of the United States wide open, right? Same thing's happening to our country. Our sovereignty is being taken apart, being taken down. The World Without Borders movement, right? George Soros. See what's happening here? Whether it's climate change or the plight of the indigenous, whatever it is, the idea is to erase these countries, find noble-sounding causes to erase the borders. You see what's happening? Well, I see why Francis was in Canada, the spiritual leader of the world, supposedly, taking ownership of all of the evils done in the name of Christ to the indigenous peoples by the European colonialists. You see what's happening? You honestly think this has to do with those cute little shoes and missing kids and all? No, 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 it's just the trappings. That's the stuff to reel you in. That's grandma during COVID. You're going to kill grandma, right? Well, now they killed all those kids, right? It's the same propaganda. It's the same fake news. And again, the whole missionary effort of the Catholic Church to share the Lumen Christi with the native peoples of the world was... according to Francis, genocide.
It's true, yes. Yes, it is genocide.
Just let that sink in for a moment. It was genocide to change their culture, to change their spirituality. Well, Francis, did you realize that's a pagan spirituality? Did you know that? And that they had been given the opportunity by Catholic missionaries to have a Catholic, to have a Christian, a Christ-centered, Christocentric spirituality? Are you calling that genocide? Friends, don't you understand? I think most of you do, or you wouldn't be watching this. But you think we're just crepe-hanging about Francis because we don't like Francis? Because we're traditional, we're rad trans? Really, do you think it's that petty? Why are people struggling to put Francis in the context of the globalist takeover of the world? I'm so confused. Y'all want to bicker on your little blog sites about who's too extreme and who too mean to Francis and blah, blah. And look at me, I read the Bible and I decided I'm not going to be critical anymore. Well, they're using Francis and our papacy to put the world in the hands of the forces of hell. Globalism, godless globalism. If you want to reset the world, friends, try this one more time. If you want to reset the world, if you want to abolish sovereign nations, if you want to abolish the very idea of sovereignty, if you want to abolish forever the idea of a Christian confessional state, if you want to end private property. Now remember, these people have no time for democracy either, which is why they're jamming everything down our throats right now. Nobody wants these policies that they're coming up with. So don't tell me this is a democracy. No, it's not. And if you want to end private property, all you need to do is declare the foundation of these sovereign nations, of our sovereign nation, of the Canadian sovereign nation, of the Australian sovereign nation. All you got to do is claim that they were illegal from the start. And voila! National borders disappear. Written constitutions become null and void. This is where they're going with this. This is what's just around the corner here. You think we're just bickering over, well, we like Latin in our mass and Francis is mean to us. You honestly think that this is about? We are fighting for the future of our civilization right now, friends. They want to crush not only us, but our family and our nations right now, friends. And once again, we saw up in Canada, no one is allowed to question the fake news narrative. No one. In Canada right now, this even includes tenured professors whose job it is to ask questions and to interject rational thinking into policy. Here's what happens to them.
You were an associate professor in the Department of Economics, Justice, and Policy Studies at Mount Royal University in Calgary, Alberta, until recently.
With respect to the residential schools, which is my area of research, they were not genocidal. And there were a lot of problems that those schools had to deal with, which are not being recognized, which are that you had remote hunting and gathering groups that were not literate and had no formal educational system. So they recommended the residential school model to kind of deal with this problem of nomadic hunters and gatherers that didn't have any traditions of literacy. And many Indigenous leaders, not that long ago, probably 30 years ago, used to say things like residential schools are really tough. It's really hard being away from home, but I was able to get a really good education in the residential schools. There's many, many Indigenous leaders who would say this. So when you start to just to raise the idea, you're not even making any decisions about what the truth is or what should be done or anything like that. You're just raising the question. That is immediately, it's basically the position is that should not be a question that should be asked. So I'm been fired. I was fired on December 20th.
This is not some conservative, some remnant writer. She's not in favor of residential schools even. She's simply trying to put the narrative, put the conversation into the real world, away from the fake news, away from the media, you know, and that's what happens to her. That should sound familiar because we've been dealing with this for a long time. COVID, ivermectin, Ukraine, don't question the narrative. Under whatever you do, do not question the narrative. And the thing is, friends, as you zip it up and agree to, well, in Catholics' case, you know, pray and obey and not be too mean, as you do all of that, as you agree, make this Faustian bargain to shut yourself down so that you don't get in any trouble and let them do whatever they want, they have no impasse whatsoever in their effort to dismantle the very thing that built Western civilization. You know what's that's happening right now. The thing that built Western civilization, the civilizing influence of Jesus Christ, our King, of Christianity, tearing it down. And the last vestiges of that Western Christian civilization, that's the only thing that stands between you and total chaos and total surveillance state. Super global surveillance, one world order state. That's it. That's why they're going after the traditional Latin Mass in our church, because we're standing in the way of that. You see? You get rid of the last vestiges of Christianity in the world, and there's nothing stopping these people. There's no force on earth strong enough to stop them. Look what they did to Trump. In Canada, the Amazon, Australia, everywhere, they're using the Catholic Church, now the Reformed Catholic Church, the human element of the Catholic, the infiltrated Catholic Church, to get their diabolical job done. That's why we call Francis the chaplain of the New World Order. That's his job, to bless and approve and baptize and hear the confessions of Christianity of the past and make it all better now under this great globalist one-world vision. You see, that's his job. This whole thing is an attempt to exploit the indigenous peoples for the purpose of establishing a new world order, which will oppress all of the peoples of the world, by the way, including the indigenous, once it's up and going, in this globalist super surveillance state that guys like Klaus Schwab and the United Nations and everybody else has in mind. You see? You think they actually care about the indigenous? That's ridiculous. And Francis is helping to lead this charge. He said, I don't like anything you're saying, man. You're hard on him. Francis is awesome. Okay, let's try one more before we wrap up tonight. One more example. What's next for Pope Francis, the guy you think we need to pray and obey? Well, Francis is going to green light contraception. Param, taram, I'm a prophet. Here I go. I'm going to say it again. You think it's not coming? It's absolutely coming. He will use every means at his disposal to green light contraception if somebody doesn't, high up in the church's hierarchy, doesn't stop him first. It's obvious that's what he wants to do.
During the Pope's in-flight press conference July 29th, when he was returning to Rome from Canada, the Pope was asked whether he was open to reevaluating the church's teaching opposing the use of contraceptives. The Pope addressed the issue by talking about how doctrine or moral issues are always on a path of development.
Una chiesa che non sviluppa in senso ecclesiale il suo pensiero è una chiesa che va indietro. E questo è il problema di oggi, di tanti che si dicono tradizionali. No, non sono tradizionali, sono indietristi. Vanno indietro, senza radici. Sempre è stato fatto così. Il secolo scorso è stato fatto così. E l'indietrismo è un peccato, perché non va avanti con la Chiesa.
What he just said is not even a lie. It's just noise coming out of Francis's face. It's absurd. Well, that's Francis. He can do whatever he wants. The question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when he changes the teaching on contraception? You ready for that? You just going to pray and obey? Because that's what Jesus would do? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? You know, before you're going to realize something has to be done. We've reached a point of unprecedented point in the history of the church now. And you just have a very simple choice to make. Are you going to stand with Christ and the faith? Or are you going to go along with Francis? Because competent authorities in the church of far greater intellects than mine and yours eventually going to sort this thing out. But in the short term, you cannot go along with this man without doing violation to the faith established by Jesus Christ. And the good news is people are realizing this more and more all over the world, right? I would say, man, I don't come on here to demoralize you. I come on here every week to encourage you. Stay in the church. Keep fighting, right? People are waking up. I'm not just making that up. It's true. There's an example. I was a guest on Newsmax, Chris Salcido's show this week. Now, here's what I want you to do. Take a look at what Chris is saying in the lead up to his question to me.
Joining me now is editor of the Remnant newspaper and host of RTV's Remnant Underground, Michael Matt, also with us, Catholic priest and founder of PlatingGrace.com, Father Leo Patlinghug. Welcome to you both, gentlemen. Michael, we'll begin with you. Many Catholics, like myself, believe it is high time for Pope Francis to resign, and not just because of his health. In my view, this pope is a product of his socialist upbringing, a pope who doesn't value freedom and liberty that our founders believed was the God-given right of all human beings. In the tradition of all left-wingers, he has brought division to the Catholic Church, where Christ calls for unity. His open hostility to the Latin Mass is just one example I can cite for you. Where do you stand on his potential resignation?
You know, thanks for having me on, first of all, Chris. It's a tough thing. This is a difficult moment to be Catholic for all of us. And I hate to say it, but I believe that Francis is not going to resign. He just less than a month ago, in the Reuters interview, he said that it was gossip that he was planning to resign. That's a man in a very influential role as a talking head on Newsmax, and he's not afraid to say it. He's not afraid to speak the truth.
In my view, this Pope is a product of his socialist upbringing.
Everyone who cares about God and country needs to speak out now. God is not going to judge you harshly for defending the faith against something like Francis. People say, you got to stop that, man. It's a sin to resist the Pope. Is it? Well, that's not any of your business. That's my business. My children, my faith come first. How I deal with Francis is my business, not yours. And what we need to talk about as an organization, as an institution, as a group, is what are we going to do as this guy destroys the church? Chris Salcido from Newsmax is going to be at the Catholic Identity Conference, which is a Unite the Clans rendezvous, by the way, with 700-800 people at the end of September in Pittsburgh. I hope you sign up for it. Look at the link below. And come out and listen to some of these men who've had enough of Francis, who've had enough of this revolution, who feel duty-bound in conscience to speak out. Those of us who know the faith, know the doctrine, know our church, have an obligation before God to stand up and say, this is wrong, in order to prevent millions of more people from being deceived by these lies coming out of the Vatican, from leaving the church, defecting from the church. We fight, we speak up, not to drive anybody out of the church, but to show them how to stay in the church and reclaim the Catholic ground. That's the point. So come on out to the Catholic Identity Conference. Watch these men of considerable influence speak out and put everything on the line in order to do so. Because they agree with St. Robert Bellarmine, doctor of the church, who said, just as it would be lawful to resist a pontiff invading a body, so is it lawful to resist him invading souls or disturbing a state. And much more if that pontiff should endeavor to destroy the church. Doctor of the church saying we must resist a pope who's trying to destroy the church. What do you think Francis is doing right now? Trying to build it up?
It's true, yes. Yes, it is genocide.
The stark and terrible reality, friends, today that we all face is that Francis is indeed endeavoring to destroy the church. And thus, he must be resisted for the good of the church and for the protection of souls. You see? Something is apocalyptically wrong here. And those of us who have been educated in the faith, the priests, nuns, bishops, all of us, who understand what a departure this is from sound doctrine, how dangerous this is, not only for our religion, but for the future of the world, the future of our civilization, as I see it, have an obligation to speak up and speak out. A man like Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, one of the few bishops in the world, who has the courage to stand with Christ and to speak out, to risk everything. You know what he's doing? He's helping millions stay in the church because now people can look to him and say, I thought something was wrong. I knew something was wrong. I'm not crazy. And this is how you stay in the church. You understand that the church right now is being targeted by the forces of hell. Doesn't mean we get to leave. And we must always keep in mind, we're talking about the human element, not the divine, pure body of Christ, mystical body of Christ, the church, in her divine element. But the human element has been infiltrated. I know some of you don't understand, you know, how this works. I'm not telling you that I know exactly the ramifications, but I know that we must defend the truth. And so if you prefer to pray and obey, I'm not going to condemn you for that. That's between you and God. It's none of my business. But I would ask you, entreat you to please understand that as I see it, people like me, as I see it, as we see it, when respect for the office leads to silence in the face of this abomination, of this abject evil, this assault on the church, then respect for the office leads to an offense against God. Respect for the office trumps the faith, and that simply cannot be right. And so, yeah, we're left with no alternative but to pray for Francis, sure, and to resist him to his face until either Francis repents or until God calls him home. And that's the harsh reality that we all face. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Thank you very much for listening. Continue to pray, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless you.